It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It might seem like childbirth is a fairly risk-free these days, but complications are still common, and national rates of mothers dying have actually been increasing.
And I sit down in the shower and yell for my husband, and he comes and he looks in there and he's like, "Oh, dear God, you need to call your doctor back. There's no way this is normal."
We'll hear more about maternal morbidity this morning and how West Virginia is bucking the national trend. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Issues related to public education lingered heavily in the background and at times worked their way to the front of a special session of the West Virginia legislature. On Monday, lawmakers addressed bills Governor Jim Justice vetoed following the regular session. Last week, the governor amended his education-focused special session to include bills he vetoed on technical grounds, as well as supplemental appropriations. All of the measures, aside from those related to education, were approved on Monday. Senate Democrats introduced 8 pieces of legislation Monday relating to education reform. Those efforts failed to gain traction. The House of Delegates authorized 4 select committees on education. All delegates except for House Speaker Roger Hanshaw will be split amongst the committees. Delegates will examine the education bills next time Hanshaw and Senate President Carmichael call their members back to work. That's expected in the coming weeks. Charter schools and education savings accounts are expected to be part of the GOP plan. The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection is accepting applications for grant funding available to redevelop abandoned mine lands. Brittany Patterson reports.
West Virginia DEP's Office of Abandoned Mine Lands and Reclamation is taking applications for economic development projects on abandoned mine lands through July 1st. $25 million in grant funding is available through the U.S. Department of Interior's Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement. Projects must be located on or adjacent to mine sites that ceased operations prior to August 1977. According to a press release, since 2016, 28 projects in 13 West Virginia counties have received $80 million in grant funding. The grant application and more information can be found online on the West Virginia DEP's website. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson in Morgantown.
West Virginia University Potomac State College says it's participating in a state-funded financial aid program to cover basic tuition and fees. As Corey Nallinger reports, the legislation to make the program possible was passed by state lawmakers this year.
The West Virginia Invest grant program is designed to cover the cost of basic tuition and fees for certificate and associate degree programs in high-demand fields for qualifying residents. Majors in agriculture, business, criminal justice, computer information systems, and journalism have been identified by the State Commerce Department as qualifying high-demand fields. The website also lists other participating schools. Participating students must meet certain qualifications, including being a West Virginia resident and passing a drug screening test every semester. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Corey Nallinger in Wheeling.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:48. Mostly sunny today with highs in the 60s and 70s. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the 50s. Sunshine for tomorrow with highs in the 70s and low 80s. Scattered rain and thunderstorms tomorrow with lows in the 50s. Or tonight, or tomorrow night rather, with lows in the 50s and 60s.
Hi, this is Dave Mistich, senior reporter here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I basically have one position in terms of politics, and here it is. Support your local news media. And why? That's because democracy works best if there are more people to cover government doing its thing. So make a pledge of support to West Virginia Public Broadcasting right now. Call 1-800-RADIO-87 or go to our website, wvpublic.org. And thanks.
The rate at which women die during or after pregnancy is rising in much of the United States. American women are 3 times more likely to die during or after birth than women in Great Britain, and 8 times more likely than women in Scandinavian countries. But despite the prevalence of major risk factors such as low access to prenatal care, a high poverty rate, and a largely rural population, West Virginia is bucking the maternal mortality trend. Maternal deaths are not only low, they're also stable. Carol Lofton takes a look at why that is.
For the last couple of years, when I thought about having children, one question lingered at the back of my mind. How likely am I to die during or shortly after childbirth?
So is that the baby, the thing?
That question snapped into focus when I became pregnant earlier this year. That sound you just heard is my fetus's heartbeat during a routine prenatal visit. Although it may sound like it, I'm not being dramatic. The United States has some of the highest maternal mortality rates in the developed world. And unlike most other first world countries, our rates are going in the wrong direction. When Lauren Headley was 35, she got pregnant. Her age categorizes her as high risk. But at the time, she was teaching Zumba classes, is a non-smoker, and was of a healthy weight at conception. About 6 months into her pregnancy, though, Headley was diagnosed with gestational diabetes. Her obstetrician was concerned that as a result, her baby would be born large and wouldn't fit through the birth canal. So at around 39 weeks, doctors induced labor. Her daughter, Reese, was born healthy, and neither mother nor baby had any complications.
Is that mommy's girl? Yeah. Oh. You give me a big smile.
But then on the 10th day after giving birth, Headley woke up bleeding. The next section is pretty graphic, so if you're squeamish, you might want to turn down the sound for a bit.
This was like gushing. And almost like red clots of jello.
She called her doctor's office, and her doctor told her that some bleeding was normal, but if it continued, to go to the emergency department or to call her back. So she decided to get into the shower to see if that would calm things down.
As I'm in the shower, the blood just pours out. I mean, cups of red jello is what it looks like, and it's just pouring out. And I get really weak, and I sit down in the shower and yell for my husband, and he comes, and he looks in there, and he's like, oh, dear God, you need to call your doctor back. There's no way this is normal.
Headley was taken by ambulance to the emergency department at Thomas Health, where she was diagnosed with severe postpartum hemorrhage, which is one of the leading complications that causes maternal mortality in the United States. Postpartum hemorrhage 10 days after birth is admittedly pretty rare, but how well a hospital is prepared to deal with obstetric emergencies can mean the difference between life and death for someone like Headley, which may be part of why West Virginia's rates are so low. West Virginia actually ranks 5th in the country for least number of maternal mortality deaths in the nation, behind states like California, Massachusetts, and Colorado. Maternal deaths related to pregnancy and childbirth have bounced between 1 to 4 deaths a year for the past 11 years. Even though West Virginia is a small state and has few births a year, this is a pretty low rate and is surprising because West Virginia is poor, rural, and has higher rates of comorbidities, which are all risk factors. But when you try to dig into the numbers,
it's hard to know exactly why our rates are lower.
That's Amy Tolliver, director of the West Virginia Perinatal Partnership. She said over the last 10 years, they've been working closely with all the hospitals in the state that deliver babies to improve the care they offer to moms.
We have been implementing different training programs, specifically around maternal hemorrhage. That is one of the biggest drivers that we see in regard to maternal morbidity, and nationally also in regard to maternal mortality.
Tolliver says now every hospital in the state that delivers babies has a specific set of protocols they're supposed to adhere to in the event of complications like uncontrolled postpartum bleeding.
To have the crash carts available with all of the equipment necessary, to have trainings in place, and to continue to do those staff trainings. We think that that is one of the biggest factors in improving care is practicing for the high-risk patient.
Dr. Allie Roy is an obstetrician at Marshall Health.
I think we also do a good job in this state of accepting the fact that we have a lot of the risk factors that increase the risk of maternal mortality.
Roy delivers babies at Cabell Huntington Hospital. When a patient is admitted there, she says, there's a checklist the staff goes through with the patient. And if they meet moderate or high risk for a postpartum hemorrhage, there are interventions they do at delivery with that patient. Anecdotally, she says, the protocols have greatly improved outcomes for patients with postpartum hemorrhage. Tolliver again.
It's important because when you have an emergency, you want people to be able to react smoothly and seamlessly. There should be no downtime in regard to trying to figure out, what they need to do next. It needs to be very quick, very regimented, getting the process in place.
In an email exchange with Thomas Health, the hospital Headley was taken to, a representative said that Thomas has protocols in place for how to deal with hemorrhage that were developed in conjunction with the statewide initiatives. But experts working in this field in West Virginia say there's still work to be done. In 2008, West Virginia established a maternal mortality review committee made up of experts from across the state that basically looks at all of the data around pregnancy and childbirth-related deaths and sees what happened. They then make recommendations based on the findings. About half of U.S. states currently have such committees.
One of the first things that we did find was that some of our women who were postpartum may have presented in an emergency room with a severe headache and other symptoms, but they weren't caught quickly enough in regard to understanding that that was preeclampsia, for example, that they may have been experiencing. So there were some efforts put together to do some education with our emergency room staffing.
Preeclampsia is a pregnancy complication that is usually categorized by high blood pressure and, if untreated, can cause organ damage and even death. Last year, the committee recommended a renewal of those education efforts. So the Perinatal Partnership is getting ready to go out around the state to do more training.
To have them be prepared to be looking at the patient just a little differently, asking the question, has she given birth recently? Those answers to those questions may drive the care in a different direction and get to the bottom of what is going on with her much more quickly.
So is there anything women can do to protect themselves against dying in childbirth? Experts say understand that women can die during childbirth in the U.S. There are complications. Listen to your body. Advocate for yourself and talk about risk with your care team. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Charleston Area Medical Center and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glenys Board. I'm Teresa Wills.